Okay, we're all ready to go.
Cool, so I'm ready too. Let's do it.
This is the PC Gamer Podcast, episode 137 for June 19th, 2008. I'm Dan Stapleton, your host today, and on board for a Whirlwind Production Week show, our senior editor, Logan Decker.
Hello, Slogan Decker. I like that.
Slogan Decker, yeah. That's your new name today. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Former staffer, Chuck Osborne.
Yeah.
Okay. And our producer, Andy Valman.
What's up? Yeah. Poop socking my way to production all day long. That's my new favorite term. If you guys can pick that up,
poop sock.
Poop socking it.
That is an extreme version of cat assing.
Yes, it is.
It's very extreme. Absolutely.
Yeah. I learned it from Sean Elliott at Games for Windows.
What do you mean you learned it from? Don't we have it here? We covered that like a year ago.
Did you? Shoot.
Yeah.
My bad.
Sean Elliott knows nothing. So, like I said, we're short on time today because we're trying to ship an issue. We're cutting it down to the wire, and I'm getting pages waved at me right now. But but we're podcasting anyway because we care. So, a brief overview of the news. This one is too good not to share. Kristen right now is not here because she's down in LA at E3's pre-E3 event. They're calling it EA3, where they have informed her that she is the first person ever to receive a warning on violating the terms of service of the Spore Creature Creator. Because she
really?
Genius.
No. So,
it's because
so
of her Spore.
It's Boobgate.
Because she made Spore.
Oh, no. She made a creature called Boobalicious, and you can just imagine what this creature looks like. It has an enormous pair of tatas.
It's not that it has an enormous pair. It is an enormous
pair. It is an enormous pair of tatas, which, I mean, we should add, that was in response to a rather provocative creation from the PC Gamer UK editor, Tim Edwards.
Yeah, you guys can go over to gamesforradar.com/PC and see some screenshots here of the back and forth.
Evaluate the evidence for yourself.
Is it safe for work?
I think it's actually pretty tame. Both the Wang creature and the
no. You had to go there. No. You had to go there.
Hey,
that's the only way it could go.
It's there to be seen by the world. So
so this is what professional games journalists do in their spare time.
Yeah. But both of these, I think, are pretty tame. I mean, they're both kind of abstract representations. They could be much, much worse. Believe me. No, did either of you see the video of the goatsy creature?
Oh no.
Oh.
I worry.
That was horrific. Absolutely horrific.
You let the goatsy out of the bag.
Yeah. Oh, and if you don't know what goatsy is, I'm sorry, I'm not going to tell you. Because it is not safe for description on a podcast. But it is.
We'll send you a link later, and you have to click on it.
I heard inside, and unfortunately, I just went to the link, and I'm looking at the pictures, and I am
shocked and appalled.
I am shocked and appalled. I really am.
You know, EA had sent Kristen. They sent her an email yesterday that says, your Electronic Arts account has been flagged for violating the Electronic Arts Incorporated Terms of Service. We believe that the violation or behavior is serious enough to bring to your attention as it may impact your future access to the service. And then they gave her this little tag about the violation. Violation, inappropriate content, creature, violation, nudity, asset name, Boobalicious.
Wow!
Now, in their, you know, to their credit, they do give her a way to appeal the judgment. Understanding the EA terms of service is extremely important, and so they gave her an email to contact should she have any general questions or concerns, or wish to appeal a violation.
Of course, then she went down there and they just gave her crap in person. So,
well, okay, so I'm wondering if she had not named it Boobalicious, if she just named it like Betty, you know,
that we don't know yet.
Never would have noticed.
Although my understanding is they do have somebody who's looking at different creatures. You know, they're just somebody who sort of.
Right,
is there to filter out any of the gross? So, you know,
so they have like a spore creature wrangler then, whose job is just to sit and look at all the different spore creatures
at Sporn.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
The ghost.
That's my understanding. Could be wrong, but yeah, I think Boobalicious was definitely a giveaway because I don't think. If she was the first one to get the smackdown, I mean, certainly Tim Edwards' member contribution was, you know, that did come out first, and I don't think he's gotten an email yet, so,
Well, I don't think most guys have, like, eyeballs on their scrotum, so that one is kind of safe.
Wait, they don't?
Well.
Now, I'm not sure about a couple of things with the PCG UK story. And Tim Edwards, if you're listening, you know, feel free to respond here. But first of all, he claims it's like the world's first spore penis, which I sincerely doubt. Not to call him out or anything, but I would be shocked, absolutely shocked, if like every single person on the spore development team hasn't made.
Yeah, Will Wright himself has probably made a couple.
Oh yeah, yeah. And
well, rumor has it that's the reason why he developed Spore in the first place.
Just so he could make penises all day?
Yes. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. If Jack Thompson has not declared this a pornography simulator by noon
Jackie
tomorrow. By noon tomorrow, if he has not declared this as a pornography simulator, and worse, a child pornography simulator, because as you're messing around with the demo settings in the creature creator, you can set it so that there you can see like junior versions of your creature, like babies.
Oh.
So you know, if you turn that option on, you are simulating child pornography because you're looking at a baby penis. So,
I wonder, did Christian take a picture of Booblets?
I don't
oh,
know.
Man, log onto your
budding,
account.
You know?
Make another one.
Oh.
They need it would need a training bra. But anyway,
oh man.
Yeah, if Jack Thompson has not declared this a child pornography simulator by noon tomorrow, he's officially over with. He's off his game. He's done. Over the hill.
You just had to get that off your chest.
I did.
Oh, get
shut up. But have either of you guys messed around with the creature creator?
Yes, and I don't know how I'm going to get anything done ever again. it's fantastic. You can just sit there and pull and poke and prod and pull out limbs and slap on tentacles and pseudopods and stretch legs out and turn them upside down. It's unbelievable.
It is pretty amazing what it'll do, and the fact that it can figure out how to make whatever you do walk,
no matter how grotesquely.
Right, right, and I did like manage to break it a few times by doing some crazy things like 15 legs, if your creature has just like 1 foot, it just kind of scoots on that 1 foot. Doesn't really look very good. You would think it would kind of hop or something, but for the most part, it does a good job.
Yeah. And you can make it call out things and dance and you got to try it for yourself. You can download it over at it's at the EA website, I believe.
Yeah, you have to get it through the EA downloader, I think.
Yeah,
but there are two versions. There's the demo version, which has like a quarter of the content that you can play with, like the different body parts, and then there's the full version, which they charge $10 for. Which is kind of crazy, I think. I don't know why they would charge $10 to essentially play with a demo. And this is like when they put out the Sim Creator before ahead of The Sims 2. They wanted you to be able to make your Sims so that you would say, "Hey, I want to, I made this cool guy. I want to go play with him in the game." This is like they're selling the Spore Creature Creator as its own game.
I'm betting that you have to pay the $10 in order to make boobies and penises.
I think you can make boobies and penises with the demo version too. I mean that's a pretty basic function. That's like bare minimum. But
does the $10 go toward the purchase of the full game?
Enhanced proportions.
Yeah, I think the $10 does at least $5 of the $10. I believe so. I'd have to verify that, but I believe that $5 of the $10 will go towards the purchase of the game. If you probably you might even have to get the game like through the EA downloader to do that, though. I don't know.
Oh yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, not certain about that.
It would have been nice to see this as a giveaway, though.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, at least there is a demo version.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like duct taping the fun button down, though. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it is a hell of a lot of fun to play around with. It, you know, it's like, you know, The Sims was you know, playing with a dollhouse on the computer. This is like playing with Play-Doh on the computer.
Yeah.
Next, Lincoln Logs.
Or an alien ant farm.
when will Will Wright make a Rubik's Cube on the computer? Or a Slinky? Or Nerf guns. Anyway, so next on the list... Valve is putting out another huge TF2 update in the next day or so. I think it might be actually tonight they're putting it out. I'd have to, I if you can't tell, I'm not the world's greatest TF2 expert. That title falls to Norman Chan, our now graduated intern who's working over at Maximum PC now. He would be here to talk about it today, but he has to work on like a big site upgrade they're working on. So we'll have to kind of postpone talking about this much until next week. But we can say that just if you do plan to play immediately after they launch this, bring your asbestos underpants, because everybody is going to be playing as pyros.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just like after they launched the last one with the medic upgrades and the new weapons and the new achievements, everybody was playing as medics so they could unlock the new medic achievements and the new weapons. So pyro probably going to do the same thing. And you still play a lot, right?
I still play a little bit. It's getting to the point where everybody's been poop socking it too much, and I can't beat them.
Okay, we might have to cut you off of the use term poop sock.
Yeah.
Whatever, man. I'm going to use it at least five more times today.
It is a privilege and not a right. If you abuse your poop sock saying privileges, they will be taken away.
You know what?
I think Andy, you've turned into a full-blown fecal-philiac.
Oh. It's good excuse if you get beaten in a multiplayer game, though. It's just like, yeah, you poop soccer. You just did that. Uh-huh. It's like an insult and funny at the same time.
Well, some of them may be merely cat assers.
True.
You know, you don't want to go overboard with that.
But speaking of, you know, Team Fortress 2 and new stuff, they released the sniper, Meet the Sniper video, which was awesome.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Yeah, and that's like what I play as all the time, is a sniper, so I was like, yeah, I feel cool.
What was your favorite gag in there?
The pee, by far. The little, like, pee things that go in the time-lapse shot, and they fill up. That all was right. Genius.
So next, we've got CD Projekt, who has announced the enhanced edition of The Witcher will be out in the first half of September. Thanks for the heads up, Gunman X, on our forums. I've got a copy of The Witcher that I just haven't installed yet. I've never played it because I knew this is coming. So I'm like, why would I play the game that's not, you know, done in you know, quote unquote done. In the more complete sense, you know, it's like this mega patch slash, you know, new release is supposed to address a lot of the complaints that reviewers had and the community had about the game in general. So this is supposed to be like a you know, pretty much, you know, 1.5 version of The Witcher.
Well, not only that, but I had actually talked with some guys from CD Projekt around the time of CES, and they had said that because of the localization into the US, they didn't have as much time to localize everything over, and so the storyline was actually shortened a little bit and didn't have as much dialogue as the versions that were released over in Europe, and so this version is going to contain all of those story elements that were missing from the first go round, and including extra bonus voiceovers.
So even if you did play it the first time, it might be worth a second playthrough just to catch all the stuff you missed.
Yeah, really, it sounds like it. I mean, they really flesh out the story a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, the story was already fantastic, and the dialogue was really great in the other version. But there was definitely stuff at the end that I got confused on, and I didn't understand. I don't want to spoil it because there's kind of like a big deal at the ending that you kind of realize, and I didn't realize it because I kind of am that guy who like needs to be told everything. And I think maybe that they're going to have a little bit more hints into like who this character is, and that's kind of important, and I missed it. And the only way I knew it is like searching about it on the internet. So that probably
what's
will
What are bonus voiceovers? I mean, how do they work that in?
Well, not I'm sorry, not voiceovers, but more voice acting. So basically, uh-huh. You know, they added a bunch of dialogue and lines that weren't in the original U.S. version, and so they actually brought back the voice actors and had them, you know, act out more dialogue.
That's awesome. That's a lot of work because you have to record, you have to master, you have to. Wow, that's pretty amazing. You know, I have to admit, one of the coolest add-ons at a game, when you finish it, unlockables, was at the end of the longest journey. Because, you know, there's a ton of voice acting in that adventure. But once you finish the game, it unlocks all the bloopers.
Yeah, I remember that.
And you can
that.
Hear them trying to say their lines, you know, and they have all these intricate names. They keep stumbling over them, or they have to say their lines twice. And I've never seen, you know, a blooper reel like that done in a game. It was a great idea.
See, before we move on, I just want to look up a detail here to strengthen my argument. Give me one moment.
You have anything with socks or poop or
no? There's no poop or sock involved in this. It's not really an argument, but it's a theory.
Is the enhanced version of The Witcher gonna have the censored cards? You know, the playing cards you get when you bed women.
You know, I don't know actually. I remember, you know, a few months ago that was kind of still up in the air. Because they still have to deal with the ESRB here.
They could probably get away with it. They weren't too bad. You know what I mean? Like, they could probably make a case for them.
I mean, they don't say explicitly what you do with the women in bed, do they?
No.
Is it just boobs? Feet?
Yeah, just boobs. Maybe
well,
a little
bit. If Conan can do it.
That's what I'm saying. And Conan's are, like, in your face. These are, like, these are kind of, like, artistically done.
Conan's are, like, all up in there. Total. All up in your business.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, Conan's kind of old now, so yeah, they're a little bit droopy.
Anyway.
Ba-dum-ba.
So, Blizzard has unleashed Diablo 2 1.12, a new patch that among other things, disables the CD check on the game, so you no longer have to have the CD in the drive to play, which is convenient and I think extremely significant given the pattern that seems to be emerging here. Last January, which was a couple of months before they announced StarCraft II, they released a patch for StarCraft I that removed the CD check. Dun dun dun.
So.
And very soon they're having another worldwide invitational. Last year's was in Korea where they announced StarCraft. This year's is in Paris where they are announcing something. So I don't know. That's
scratch.
That's just a theory.
Are you going to the Paris, Dan?
Kristen is going.
Oh, who lost that bet?
She's putting on her beret.
Oui.
No, she was actually going to be in the neighborhood, going to visit our UK companion, our counterparts, not our companions, our counterparts.
Paris is stinky.
I've never
it
been to Paris.
That's
I've
the reason you're not going.
It smells.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll be covering that. They actually haven't told us what they're announcing, which is surprising.
Yeah, they will not. They're absolutely mum.
And I mean, last time with StarCraft 2, they were very very shy about it. They even though we knew what it was, they wouldn't even say the name of it to us. That's how secretive they were. Anyway, so we'll all be waiting to see what they announce in Paris. So I guess the big news hardware wise is the grand unveiling of NVIDIA's GTX 280 card.
Beautiful and sexy.
And I've been running one at home for a while, and I have to say it is a noticeable upgrade from the 8800 GTX, which is, you know, nothing to scoff at in
not
of itself.
Not at all. Yeah. In fact, the GTX 280 in my benchmarks was faster in most benchmarks than the 9800 GX2, which has two GPUs in it instead of to the GTX 280's one.
And there have been some you know, conflicting reports coming out of different sites, in different reviews of this card, saying that the 98 uh, GX2 is faster in some areas.
Yeah,
but,
sure, and that'll always happen. But
like that has to do with, you know, which CPUs they're running it with, and you know, different all kinds of different factors, and generally, but like all the stuff that we do that we print in our reviews is completely reproducible if you use the same parts.
Absolutely, and we do tell you what settings we use. It'd be up at the bottom of the benchmark charts. Right. But I do want to emphasize, though, I mean, okay, this is a really expensive card. It's $650. That is a monster price to pay for a card. And if you're wondering, you know, well, should I go for it? You know, the GTX 260, by the way, this is part of the whole new naming scheme of the of NVIDIA's cards, which is you'll always be able to rely on that three-digit number, 280, 260, and then whatever comes next, that will show you, like, the power of the card. 280 is the most powerful, 260 is the next most powerful, and so on. The 260 is already out. You'll see a review coming up very soon. But the 280 is meant for people who have very, very fast processors and are running at very high resolutions. If you're not going to run at above 1920 by 1200, I wouldn't bother. I would go with the 260. You know, you're not going to get, even though you're going to have a faster card, it's not going to impact your games as much as, you know, proportional to how much money you're going to pay for it, which is a huge amount. I couldn't afford it, that's for sure. Great card, no doubt about it. But the 260... is probably hitting at a price range that I think is a lot more affordable for people. Let me look up what it's going for right now.
Logan, let me ask you, when the stories broke about the GTX 280, it sounded like they were still a little bit far out as far as like retail, because people were saying how there were like engineering boards and the drivers were still premature. But I mean, you can buy them now and they're ready to go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The 260 is going for like an MSRP right now of about $400. That's still pretty expensive, but I think, you know, I don't think unless you've got an absolute top-notch high-end system, I don't think you're going to notice that much of a difference between the 260 and the 280 in most games.
Can users expect to see any performance increases as the drivers mature?
Absolutely. There's tons of room for the drivers to improve here. And this is probably one of the smoothest testing cycles I've ever had, where I literally didn't have a single crash or hiccup throughout the entire testing process, which actually, by the way, was also true of the, just to be fair, the Radeon 3870X2. That was a really smooth process as well. Drivers are getting better, even initial drivers for launches like this. We'll definitely see improvements
on the benchmarking front. I ran the Vantage 3D Mark program, the DirectX 10 one, on my machine, like with my 8800 GTX, and then the 280. It nearly doubled the score, which is
amazing.
Yeah, it was already like 9,000. It went up to nearly 18,000.
Yeah,
so that's pretty ridiculous, but although without a whole lot of other information to you know, compare that to, you know, it's a flashy number. I don't know exactly what it means.
Has anybody been able to break the elusive 1 frame per second at the like super high res crisis?
Oh, Vantage? Oh yeah.
The GTX 280 not only went beyond the 1 frame per second barrier at 2560 by 1600, but it got 15 frames per second running with all settings at high at 2560 by 1600. 15 frames a second. Amazing.
Progress.
So, you know, so if you tweaked, if you brought a few of the sliders down here and there, you know, you could conceivably get 20, 22 frames per second running at that resolution, which, as everybody knows by now, is amazing. You know, Crysis has brought every system down, you know, at that number.
Yeah, and I tried maxing out the settings on Crysis on my machine. It got I'm running at 1920 by 1080, and it got like around like 15 to 20 frames per second maxed out on very high.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that still isn't quite fast enough for me. So I went back down to high settings and it's perfectly smooth.
Yeah. And again, I really think that given the price of this card, you know, unless you're really going to run at 2560 by 1600 with a lot of games, you know, again, you may want to just be a little more realistic and just simply go for the 260, which will be a better deal for you.
some of the really cool stuff is stuff that's like going to be coming out with software later, which is the video transcoding and the
all the CUDA applications.
Right.
That's going to, because you will start seeing a lot of applications that use the power of your processor to do tasks that GPUs are good for, like video transcoding. And
it's like massive parallel processing. Like there were 240 cores in the 280.
Streams.
Yeah, they're stream processors, they're called. Right. And essentially, they are like cores.
Right. So it massively processes, like parallel processes the video and does it in like a fraction of the time your CPU could, right?
Yeah, something I can't remember. We saw a demo of it at the NVIDIA Editor's Day, and it was a hell of a lot faster. Something like the first one took something like 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
To do a full movie?
It was a super high res clip.
We'll have to wait to get the software to play around with. But just the prospect, as somebody who frequently takes public transportation and uses, a portable media player and copies my like Simpsons DVDs and stuff onto there, being able to turn that around lightning fast would be awesome.
If you're going to spend that much on a card, you want it to do, some other work around the house other than games, Why shouldn't it? It's got all these stream processors. They should be able to do it. And, in fact, they can do tasks like video processing better, more efficiently than your CPU.
And that stuff's going to be unlocked on, like, all the past cards going back to the 8 series, right?
Going back to the 8 series, that's right. So you'll be able to use these applications for your NVIDIA cards back to the 8 series.
So,
they're
called CUDA applications.
This is pretty exciting to me. It seems like PC developers, though, for content creation applications, sort of lag behind because, they have to, they have a lot more hardware to deal with and stuff. I've heard of Apple, their content creation software is already going to support the CUDA stuff coming up really quickly. But have you heard, any Adobe stuff that's going to,
Adobe CS4 is going to support CUDA. We saw it in action. We saw Photoshop in action doing some crazy
What about After Effects?
After Effects, I'm almost certain you will see supporting CUDA. We did not see it at the NVIDIA Editor's Day, nor did they talk about it specifically, but almost certainly.
Sooner or later.
I've got a huge boner right now. Just kidding.
But Photoshop, they showed filters that just weren't practical to put into earlier versions because they take so much processing power and so much time. So what would happen if you drop that filter in and people try to use it, they actually have a bad experience of the program. Because this takes hours, But now they were showing some fantastic effects,
Render clouds.
Image
Render
manipulation
clouds.
Effects in photographs. On huge, super high resolution images, it's going to be pretty amazing. And you'll of course need a CUDA card, which is an NVIDIA 8 series or above, to use it.
Now, the other thing I'm excited about out of this though is the physics stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be tasty.
Because NVIDIA bought a Gia like a year and a half ago, or was it 2 years ago? I don't even know. It was a long time ago. When that happened, I was like, yes, they're finally going to start building this into graphics cards, and we'll start seeing real physics acceleration in games. Hasn't really happened yet, but apparently they're making some progress there.
It's happening now, and the amazing thing is, so you pay a lot of money for this card, but you've got all that stuff now. If you've bought an 8 series or above, you've got it. You've got the processing power, and now they're starting to release the applications.
This is going to be faster than any dedicated physics card that a Gia ever produced, right?
That's my understanding. Absolutely,
It's supposed to be much better at it than a Gia's dedicated hardware was,
This is something we all want to see take off.
Oh yeah, and the brilliance of it is that with this stuff in the vast majority of machines now. They'll actually be able to, the hardware is already out there. And what prevented Gia from taking off, because they had some really cool stuff that they were demoing with the massive physics stuff where you could throw a force blast at a bunch of containers and they'd all go flying, or like a big
hundreds
rock slide.
Of them. Hundreds.
Yeah. And totally realistic. And they were accurately flapping like a sail in the wind. All kinds of stuff like that depends heavily on physics, and you just can't do it with a CPU. It just takes too much processing power on the fly. Yeah. But the dedicated PPU could do it. this is even better than that. So, and with the reason all that didn't take off is because people didn't have the hardware. Now that people have the hardware already, people are going to start developing games for it, which is going to be awesome.
Hey, I have to break in here with some breaking news. The Team Fortress 2 Pyro update has been released.
Oh, there
dun,
we go.
So you can get it right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Let them burn.
Good thing.
A final warning about the 280 card is the power requirements are every bit as steep as you've heard. It does require a 6-pin and an 8-pin power connector.
There's potential for, like, when you upgrade your video card and you keep your old one, you can run that as the physics accelerator, right? Like, you could, I mean, you wouldn't have to SLI them because they'd be different SKUs, but you keep one and then that's the physics processor and you have the other one and that's your video processor. Is that going to be possible?
That's not going to be possible yet. That's something that I wouldn't be surprised to see happening in the near future.
They were talking about that a while
ago.
They were talking
about it, yeah.
But I guess that's not in the current plan. But
yeah, and I'm not seeing the huge momentum I would like to see to get that out the door yet. But it will definitely happen eventually. But I wouldn't be able to tell you which series yet because I honestly don't know.
I guess it's not like super practical yet, just because the 8 series isn't obsolete yet.
Yeah, should be. I mean that would add a lot of value to these cards. And it would get people to adopt them quicker, but just not happening yet. But as a warning, yeah, the 280 does take a 6-pin and an 8-pin power connector. That's a lot of juice. The 260, on the other hand, only requires the 6-pin.
Just one 6-pin?
Just one 6-pin.
Wow, I mean, that's less than the 8800 GTX.
I'm sorry, no, it takes two 6-pins.
Okay.
My bad.
Yeah. Same amount as the 8800 GTX. Then. All right, why don't we...
Wait, no, the GTX... Actually, let me look that up again, sorry. I can't even tell you. This is.
Oh yeah, what is this keyboard? You should tell people what it is.
They know it's the DOS keyboard.
But is that the name of it?
Is it just DOS?
DOS keyboard.
No, it's DOS, like German.
DAS. Yes.
Okay.
DOS.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. See, I didn't know that. And
yeah, I thought it was DOS, like the operating system DOS.
Right.
So did some forum.
People on the board saw it, don't you?
You guys just don't read enough Maximum PC, clearly.
DOSes.
Why would we read that?
Yeah, okay, yeah, the GTX 260 does require two 6-pin connectors, but most people have those dangling off their power supplies. 8 pins are harder to come by.
Right.
Yay, keyboard. I love this keyboard. This, by the way, yeah, a lot of people were asking about it on the podcast forum. This is the DOS keyboard. Listen to this beautiful music.
A symphony,
isn't it?
It's like Murder She Wrote is what it is. But
and DOS keyboard DAS.
Yeah, DOS keyboard. This is not the old DOS keyboard. This is the new one, which will be out soon. And oops, did I just break an embargo? No, I don't think I did. I hope I didn't.
It's like an achievement. Because
it's fantastic. Yeah. This is the new version of the DOS keyboard, which I think is going on sale within the next month or so. And you will find a review coming up in PC Gamer. But as you can tell, I'm already having fun.
Weighted.
This is the sound a keyboard should make. This is what kids don't get these days.
Weighted keys, people. Weighted keys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's quite enough out of you, Angela Lansbury. So let's...
And Google wants to know if I meant...
Why don't we move on to some questions and or answers?
All right, this is an interesting question from Mark about how when you buy games off Steam and they screw up, who's at fault? Here we go.
Hi, everyone. This is Mark Tobino. I have a question regarding digital download purchases versus purchases made in a store. Several weeks ago, I purchased Frontline's Fuel of War from Steam. After downloading and installing the game, I couldn't get it to run. Every time I double-clicked the icon, I got a message stating Frontline's had encountered an unexpected error and needs to close. I contacted Steam, and they directed me to THQ, the game's publisher. They couldn't figure it out, eventually asking me to send the game back to them. Well, I can't do that. I downloaded it, remember? Well, they said to work it out with Steam, and Steam said, hey, it's not our problem, and we don't issue refunds. This went on for weeks. I mean, how can a consumer embrace the new technology if they have no recourse? At least if I bought the game at a store, I could get a store credit, or I could sell it on eBay. The bottom line is I refuse to buy any game now online and wondered what your thoughts were on this subject. Thanks for your time.
I think that's unacceptable. Steam sold you a product. The product does not work. Now, granted, you know, there's a huge amount of variables there, but they sold you a product and it didn't work. They should issue a refund.
Yeah, I didn't realize they didn't do refunds. That's kind of crappy. But I think the way they have it set up is that they're kind of hands off with these games. They give publishers the tools to put things on Steam and then say go for it. So I can understand why they would say, you know, sort it out with THQ. I think THQ probably hasn't informed their tech support people of that.
But see, they should make those kind of deals transparent to the consumer. You're handing you're handing Valve the money. You know, and if I'm handing my money to somebody, you know, you're the one I'm dealing with, not...
Well, at the same time, though, if you go to Walmart and buy a game and, you know, and it doesn't work, you can't return that to Walmart. I mean, Walmart's not going to support it. That's not Walmart's job.
Yeah, but if I wanted a refund, wouldn't Walmart be the one to refund the money?
Walmart wouldn't take back open software.
Yeah. Walmart would not take back open software. In fact,
I think that's an unacceptable situation as well. Although, you know, you do have to make an exception because software can be copied.
Right.
But certainly, I mean, in any other product, you know, if I buy shoes from Walmart, they're not going to tell me, "Oh, the sole fell out of your Nikes. Go to Nike." You know.
Right.
No, I bought it from you. You need to take responsibility. And just like this guy said, he made a great point. How can they expect people to embrace digital distribution if they don't put a system in place that can get you help when something's going wrong?
I agree with you. However, I think the reason that Steam doesn't do this is because that is an enormous support cost.
That is a huge support cost. Absolutely.
But it would obviously be great if they had it. I think that they probably just, you know, it would take a lot of resources just to sort out the people that played a game for a while and decided, oh, I want my money back. I want to get another game. You know, they think of it like a rental service, you know. So that takes a lot of resources on their part.
But it does
make it hard to trust them, though, yeah.
On the other hand, if you download a game, you know, and it's got built-in DRM, right? Can't they give you a two-day window to install the game and see if it runs or if you have any major problems and just don't want to deal with that?
Maybe.
I mean, why would that be possible?
Maybe, and it could be that this major update they're playing to Steam will feature something like that, but, you know, we just don't know at this point.
Yeah, because the whole idea, like, we're off the hook, but we'll take your money, is just, that's not cool. You know what I would do? I would actually go to this website called The Consumerist. You can look at it. I think it's consumerist.com. Consumerist.com. It's great. They sometimes, like, let's say you have a problem with Walmart and they totally screw you over. They say, we'll give you a $400 refund if you buy such and such. You buy it and they don't give you the refund. Well, you go to this website and they can, they often post like the consumerist's CEO's home number or the executive emails or something like that. And people get responses right away.
Right.
Like they get people like Best Buy to chime in and like, oh, we're sorry, we didn't mean to screw you over, you know, and tell the consumerist, hey, I'm having this problem with this digital download service. They said they sold me a game, it didn't work, and now they won't give me a refund. See what they have to say about it.
Although just from personal experience with Fuel of War, I think I had the same problem when it just came back to me. I had the same problem when I tried to install that off of Steam. Wouldn't run. I think the problem is actually, from Googling around, I found this, that there were some movie files that didn't quite, that didn't make it in there. I think if you Google around, you can find somebody has posted files like blank BIK files that you can put in a certain folder. It'll tell you if you find it, and you should be able to start the game. So give that a try.
Yeah, just poking around Steam-powered's support area, I don't see anything that really addresses this issue, you know, mm-hmm. explicitly. I'm wondering if maybe, you know, hey, we should just ask Valve and see what, you know, their policy is.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get them to respond.
And we'll do that. We'll get back to you on hopefully next week. But what I would do is what Dan did. I would troll the internet and see if I can't fix the problem myself. I actually like doing that. You know, I'm a PC gamer. I don't mind it. I know that I swap hardware in and out, and I know it's a wild and woolly environment in my PC, and I don't mind doing a little troubleshooting. Not everybody is like that though, and if you don't want to deal with the hassle of a game that won't run, you shouldn't be left holding the bag.
Yeah, and make sure that you also check the forums at steampower.com as well, because sometimes there's some good information there. I had a problem one time where a game didn't download all the way, and so I just had to enter in a new setting or something like that, and then it re-downloaded and everything worked perfectly.
I don't know how many times I've spent hours troubleshooting something going wrong before it occurs to me to check forums. And then, I type in three words in a search box, and there's the answer.
Right. Duh. Yeah, and as I recall, this is a pretty widespread problem with the Steam Edition, so you shouldn't have too much trouble finding it.
Cool. Since we've been talking about video cards, and especially high-end video cards, Randy from L.A. has a question about how hardware manufacturers would respond to these games coming up with lower hardware requirements. Here we go.
Hey, PC Gamer. This is Randy from L.A., California. Recently, it seems that many developers have been focusing on creating casual games or games that require lower system specs, such as Battlefield Heroes. I was wondering what effect this degradation in pushing PC graphics will have in developing future graphics cards in general. And doesn't even matter as we reach a level of diminishing returns for graphics. Love the podcast and keep up the great work.
I don't know if it's fair to say that there's a diminished.
I'm seeing just the opposite.
Yeah, it's an expansion is what it is. They're continuing to expand into higher graphics, higher powered graphic games, but also doing other lower wider spectrum games.
I think one thing that go ahead, John.
Oh, I was just going to say you have to keep in mind that EA is the same company that's responsible for both Crysis and Battlefield Heroes, so they're just kind of covering both parts of the PC gaming market. Those people who have really really high end cards and equipment, and those people with more mainstream general cards that still want the action, but they're not graphics whores.
They want all of their money. money from Group A, and
they want your money. They want my money,
and this is just helping them get that. So yeah, I think it's a little bit inaccurate to say that the pursuit of higher end graphics is going away.
Oh yeah.
Do you guys know much about Wrath of the Lich King? A guy has a question about.
Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
Hey, is Gamefly still around?
I don't know.
I think it is. Let me see.
Do you know what the question was about Wrath of the Lich King?
It's more casual play during the end game stuff. Like if you
can. No idea.
I still have two Xbox games that I didn't send back. Original Xbox games. From Gamefly.
The website's still there. Wait, you still have two original Xbox games?
I just found them last night.
I have Burnout. Now,
yeah. What, like ones like Malice or something?
I have Burnout in Silent Hill 4.
Oh my gosh.
Logan's a hero.
Wow. I'm like, I forgot. I can't even find the envelopes now.
Mm-hmm. The bill is like $1,000 per game.
Yeah, you know,
it's amazing that they haven't been bugging you about it.
Yeah, I know.
Or maybe they just figured, it's Xbox. You can keep it.
What a loser.
They would have to pay somebody to haul those games away. Anyway, let's do one more question and then playlist.
All right. Well, I'll play his question anyway because this is from Colby.
Not the Lich King one because we don't know.
Oh, but he's from Salt Lake.
We don't know it. We have nothing to say about it.
Do you know anything about the Happy Tree Friends game?
A little bit.
Hey, PC Gamer Podcast, this is the Abominator. I was just wondering if you had any news on the Happy Tree Friends game. I love seeing little animals hurt each other, so I'm looking forward to that. On the topic of cute little animals hurting each other, Logan, I know you are a big fan of squirrels, but I saw a video recently on YouTube that greatly disturbed me, showed me the evil side of squirrels. Just search Big Buck Bunny on YouTube and you'll realize that they are not all great. Thanks for listening and keep up the great work.
You know, actually, that's a common misconception that squirrels have an evil side.
No, have you heard about gray squirrels? Like, they were talking about it on Dignation where there's like a new breed of squirrels that have come out and they're like evil.
Yeah.
Oh, well, and you just believe that because you read it.
No, I heard it on a podcast.
Genetically modified, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they've bred to become evil.
Yeah. So Andy, if Kevin Rose says something, I'll just believe it.
Alex says it, I'll believe it.
Oh, okay.
And then if Kevin says it, I'll think it's really cool, but I might not believe
it. Did he say Big Buck Bunny?
Big Buck Bunny?
That's what I heard.
Yeah, I'm not... I think the squirrel lobby had this pulled down.
For terms of service violation.
Yeah.
Anyway, happy tree friends. I did get a chance to play this a little while ago. It's basically lemmings, like really violent lemmings. So I don't know if it's really anything to be excited about, but it, you know, it's a little diversion.
And it's called Happy Tree Friends. I mean, you can't beat that, right?
You might be able to beat that, but it wouldn't be easy to beat.
You could call it Poop Sock and Tree Friends. It'd be better.
Oh, nice.
How about Happy Poop Sock Friends?
There you go. Just insert sock and poop, and you win.
I know what the title for this week's podcast is going to be.
All right, I think we need to finish up. I need to go do Max on PC.
So, quick playlist, everybody. Logan, what have you been playing?
Assassin's Creed, and more Assassin's Creed.
You're still playing? You're not done yet?
Well, yeah. No, I just got the gamepad working again, and I'm taking my time. I know it's repetitive. I know it's the same thing over and over and over again. I love it.
Are you playing all completionist, trying to get all the flags and everything?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I'm every little nook and cranny. People are in the restroom. I pull them out and like, get out of here. I poke around the toilet. Everything. I just love that game.
Now, there's really nothing to do with that toilet that's in your room in the real world. And that's very disappointing that toilet was not functional. Chuck, you been playing anything?
Yeah, I've been playing WALL-E, the game based on Pixar. Unfortunately, it's not or perhaps fortunately, it's not the PC version, and which means it's not the PS2 port.
That's positive.
Once again, the PC's getting shafted on that game, but you know, it's a cute little kid's game with lots of obstacles, stuff like that.
Does it give you any indication of how the movie's going to be?
I have a feeling that the movie is going to be irrepressibly charming. Aww. That's the idea that I get from the game.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, unrelentingly charming.
Yeah, Chuck, I realize times are hard now that you've left the magazine, but I'm going to give you a real game to play this month. How about that?
I think I already know which game you were going to give me, and I'm not so sure.
Well, I might give you a better game.
Oh, okay. Oh, and also, just to please Logan, I did finish Professor Layton and the Curious Village for the DS.
Yay! Professor!
That might please Logan, but it displeases me.
Professor! We'll get you playing it one of these days.
No, I don't think you will. Andy, how about you?
I finished up the episode 5, season 2 of Sam and Max finally, and man, what a great episode.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm really looking forward to the next season. Is there any news about it yet? You guys heard anything?
You know, I haven't seen any news on it yet. But you know, after playing that season, I'm just wondering how are they going to top themselves?
Because
it seems like, you know, they did everything that you could possibly think of in that season.
Well, I don't think they've said much about season 3 of Sam and Max, but they have been talking about season 1 of Strong Bad.
Oh, right. Yeah, I guess that's where their focus is right now.
Yeah. So I'm sure that they've got, you know, two teams, one working on Sam and Max, one working on Strong Bad, but you know, they'll talk about whichever one they want you to focus on more is the point.
I've also been playing Age of Conan. I haven't reached Poop Sock level, but you know, there's a b- bug where sometimes it goes into the story mode on the night missions, and like the camera stays in the cinematic, and then the dudes are just like killing me, and I don't have any control over my guy.
Awesome.
And I'm
that's
like,
the game
yes.
telling you to get up and use the real toilet.
But I've got a lineup of old socks ready to go. Jeez.
Now that. There will be the first person to tally up the number of times Andy has said poop sock on the forums that they'll win some props on the next episode.
or some poops.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll tie one off for you and
yeah, off into the mail it goes. That poor FedEx carrier.
You know, I had this like phase where in high school or something where I wore like really high socks all the time. So I have like a bunch of old big socks that would be perfect for poop socking.
You still have your socks from high school?
Yeah, somewhere nice. Around here.
That's kind of disturbing. Anyway.
What can Brown do for you?
No! Unhear.
Yeah. Let's see. What have I been playing? I was playing a little bit of Grid last night.
Nice.
I suck at Grid. I am just really, really bad at it. I'm very, very, very lucky to actually complete a race because I always destroy my car, like every time. It's really all I can hope for to destroy like half the other cars before I go out.
Yeah, because that has realistic damage modeling on all the cars, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool that they actually let you smash up real you know licensed cars. I hate games where you know you ram into a car and there's not a scratch on either of you and you're just bounced in the air or whatever. That's just kind of lame. I like a little destruction, and even though I don't play a whole lot of racing games, but this one was getting some good reviews. Andy Mahood liked it, so yeah, I took his advice. What else have I been playing a little bit? That's a good question. You know what I'm going to do for next week? I'm going to play some Stalker.
Oh, wow.
I never got around to Stalker. I'm going to play some Stalker.
You know what? I never got through the whole thing. I'm going to go back too.
Blasphemy.
I was actually thinking just this week, I'm not making this up, I was thinking about going and playing Stalker.
Wow. Yeah.
So maybe we should all get together into it.
But Chuck wasn't talking about the game.
He's talking about the new. Chuck's just really excited for the new iPhone and how you can track everybody you know who has one.
I am.
The ultimate stalker.
Except I'm going to have to upgrade in order to get the GPS.
Oh, yes.
Otherwise, yeah. No one will be able to stalk you. Anyway, so we should wrap this up so that Andy can go record another exciting podcast and so that we can finish putting out another exciting magazine. You can check us out on gamesradar.com/PC, and there is a PC Gamer subscribe button on the left there that you can click to get the magazine. And send us emails at MP3 questions or at PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com. Andy, what's the number if they want to call in?
Oh, geez, it's toll free 877-404-1337, extension 724 for PCG.
I'm glad you remember that, because I never will.
Yeah.
All right. So for myself, Logan Decker, Chuck Osborne, and Andy Bauman, thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Later, Gators.
Bye, guys.
There's a problem with Chuck's remote sound device. The hell does that mean?
We've been having problems with Chuck's remote sound device for some time now.
You should check that out. You should get that taken care of.
Chuck has a history of problems with his remote sound devices.
Problem with remote sound device.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Anything you left here is... No, it's not. You left it here. It's now part of this office. Chuck's stealing from our office. Chuck cares more about his Daikatana postcard than he does Commander Tubbs, which I find shocking.
Which Andy has no idea what that means.
I do not know what that
means. Commander Tubbs is his wombat that he left behind. supposedly his great friend.
It's not Commander Tubbs. Don't you even know?
Comrade Tubbs. Comrade Tubbs. Whatever.
Does it smell? I didn't want to.
I don't do that commie talk.
No, it's because he's wearing this big Russian hat.
Does he smell even worse on the inside?
Possibly.
Ooh, nobody smelled the wombat.
That's actually a tauntaun.
Oh, right. Damn it. I fail.
Andy fails at Star Wars.
Fail.
If you were here right now, we'd have to shoot you with Nerf guns. That is a penalty for failing at Star Wars.
Jesus Christ.
I just nailed Corey Cohen as he passed by in the office. That was like a 20-foot Nerf shot. That is not easy.
That was. Yeah.
I gotta go retrieve my ammunition. That should go in
Adobe.
We'll be like, Logan, tell us about the 4870, and they'll just be like, bleep, 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 bleep.
Oh, it's great. It's bleep, bleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, whatever you want to do, Logan.
It's in my butt.
Yeah. Okay.